Our final scripture lesson, there we go. Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. You'll find this on 1588 of your pew Bibles. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him and the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Oh, this is going to be fun. There are things about Christmas that just make my blood boil and I see blood red. I am irrationally angry about some of these things. Number one on my list, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That song glorifies bullying. It teaches kids that you can make fun of the weirdos and freaks unless they can do something for you, and basically says the only reason you deserve to be loved is if you can do something for other people. I hate that song. I have a visceral reaction, and also it gets stuck in my head every time I hear it, and so I keep having that visceral reaction all day long. Number one. Number two, Away in a Manger. 5/6 of that song is beautiful, but the beginning of verse two, where the cattle are lowing and the poor baby wakes and he doesn't cry. Lies. I'm 31 years old. I get woken up, I get angry. And that's not sinful. I think that's the part that bothers me, is this song teaches us that kid, babies crying because loud cattle woke them up is somehow bad and wrong when they got woke up and they're babies and they just want to sleep. Visceral reaction. And the frustrating part is I like the second half of that verse where it's just like, be near me, like stay with me. Number three, this is a new one this year because I hadn't seen it before, but it made me mad. Companies who have billboards that say, "Keep Christ in Christmas," and in the same breath, try to sell me something because it's Christmas. I'm quite positive Jesus does not care if we spend a lot of money on the same day that happens to line up quite conveniently with the pagan festival. No, me buying gifts at your store does not keep Christ in Christmas. Just drives me nuts. We're not even going to get me on the war on Christmas rant and how it doesn't exist. There are some things that just make me irrationally angry this time of year. And I just can't let them go. But there's one thing that I kind of hold on to every year, and it comes out in my preaching every year. And I feel bad because you tend to hear the same kind of sermon on this topic every year, but I can't let it go. And it's how we look at and we treat Mary. I challenge you at some point to go to Google, image search for the Virgin Mary, and find a picture where she doesn't look meek and mild, pious and perfect and proper, where she's not doing this or this or something like that. Just to prove my point, I need Megan and Caitlin to come up, even though I know I pointed at the wrong ones. Megan, come on. This is prearranged. She knew it was coming. So, I've given them each something to do, and I want you as a congregation to tell me which one of these represents Mary better. Okay, you ready?
Do it.
Which one represents Mary better? No matter your answer, they're all wrong, and that's my point. Neither one of these were acting like they ever would. They're putting on a show. You can go back to your seats. You can go back to sleep. They're putting on a show. They're not acting like themselves. They're acting like something else. And this is this image we make of Mary, where every painting she's, or never, you can't find a painting of the Virgin Mary where she even looks like a teenager, which she was. The oldest all accept an answer for how old she was at this point is 16. Chances are she was younger, but even we're just going to leave it at 16 this year. She didn't look 16. She looks like this perfect young woman in her early 20s giving birth to this baby, perfectly clean, perfectly perfect in every perfect way. She looks meek and mild and holy. Why does she look holy? Think about that for a second. What in our minds do we create as holy? Is piousness holiness? And by piousness, I don't mean following God and being more moral. I mean following a written list of human rules. Does being proper mean holy? Does being meek and mild as a woman mean holy? And your mind does it? Because in my mind, I have to actively tell myself, no, that's not the same thing. But we have this image of Mary, the most holy of women, which that's also arguable because she's still human just like the rest of us. But we have this image of Mary and we call her the most holy, and this image of Mary is meek and mild with God's light upon her, saying nothing, just mindlessly following her Lord. No teenage rebellion. No thinking for herself. No strength of her own, just meekly, mildly praying to her God. Which is interesting to me, because 30 years later, the only time we really see Mary before the cross in Jesus' adulthood is when they're at the wedding at Cana. And she basically tells Jesus, make wine or this party's going to be over. Now, she might not have said exactly that, but this meek and mild person would not care about there being enough wine at the wedding. I've learned that you grow up, but you don't change personalities. You don't become a different person. Meek and mild Virgin Mary does not become Mother Mary that looks at her son and says, fix this, and then goes and tells the servant, doesn't listen to her son say, no, her son, the Lord Jesus Christ, say, no, it's not time for me to do this. Walk to the servants and say, talk to him, he'll fix it. That's not the same person. Scripture doesn't tell us what kind of person Mary was. We have precious little. All we know is that Mary was faithful, that she could sing, and 30 years later she was concerned about wine. That's what we know. But the image of Mary that we have is meek and mild, pious and proper. And we don't have this image for any good reason. We use this image for one very specific purpose: to tell young women that they're not fulfilling this thing. They're not good enough. They're not pious enough. They're not proper enough. Tell young women that being themselves is wrong. Being themselves is immature. That they need to fall into line. And it doesn't stop at young women. We do a terrible job of allowing young people at all to just be themselves. Like, we just do an awful job of letting young people be young people and all that that represents. But for young men, it starts to fade away. When you get to be about 30, people start respecting you. Or earlier than that, for proper men, not me necessarily, but for proper men. But for women, the church. I had a conversation with the pastor. She happens to be working at Fourth in Chicago. Fourth is currently has a female head of staff right now, which is amazing. But we're talking about the woman who is the head of staff at Fourth, and that woman has to fulfill a very specific image to be able to lead that church. And this other pastor was talking about how she doesn't want to have to be that person to grow in her profession. She wants to remain a caring and loving and idealistic person. Not saying that the head of staff and Fourth isn't caring and loving, I don't know, Shannon, but she is very power suit and driven. And there's nothing wrong with that either. That is also a perfectly valid way to be. But the only way that you can grow in ministry as a woman in this denomination right now is to be driven. I'm not driven. I don't know if you all have met me, but I am not a driven person. I do not fear for my future. I know that I'm a good pastor, and that will be recognized. But we treat women with this: you either need to act in the stereotypically masculine way, or you have to be meek and mild and fall in line. And we use the image of Mary to push that, this image that has no basis in Scripture. Do you want a Mary that gives nothing to their life? Do you want the Mary that needs Joseph to protect her constantly? Do you want the Mary that serves as nothing more than a praying virgin womb at Jesus' birth? Or do you want a teenaged Mary who, when Gabriel comes to talk to her and says, "Hey, by the way, you're going to risk your patriarchal stone adulteresses society stoning you to death because you're pregnant out of wedlock," and she's like, "Okay, we're going to do this. We can do this." That's something that a teenager would say. A rational adult is going to be like, no, I won't survive this. Mary's protest is not that this is going to be terrible. Her protest is that it's impossible. But as soon as Gabriel assures her that it is, she's like, "All right, let's do this." Do you want meek and mild, just do to me whatever you want, or do you want Mary that's like, "You know what? Let's do it"? Do you want meek and mild Mary that just does whatever her husband wants, or do you want the youthful Mary that can pick up almost immediately after giving birth and move to Egypt to protect her child? Do you want a Mary that just sits there and is like, "Oh, just do to me as you wish, and I will just follow you"? Or do you want a Mary that contributes to their life, that says, "I am a part of this story. I am necessary. I am who God made me"? At this point, a young teenage woman, probably full of rebellion and fire, and can actually do something in this story. I do not find hope in blind faith, because blind faith gets torn down and beaten. It dissolves. It does not hold water. I find hope in somebody who looks at something that should be impossible and says, God can get me through this. I don't know how, but God can get me. Somebody created specifically, intentionally by God, God can get me through this. That's hope and that's strength. Not this meek and mild, okay, whatever. Whatever, God. Whatever you say. I find hope in a strong, rebellious Mary. I have a small message for the young women here. The church will call you immature for being yourself. The world will try to make you fall into line. There will be people that will condemn you for just being you. The image of Mary, meek and mild, will be on your back, and the church will judge you by that image. The church has no use for that person, though. The church and the world needs strong women, as God made you. Not some image that somebody thinks you need to fulfill. Because the world will tell you what a proper and pious woman is, and that will not be what the world needs. Whoever you are is who the church needs you to be. I want the image of strong, rebellious Mary reflected in the church. That is what gives me hope. Not meek and mild Mary that either contributed nothing or did not need God because she was so perfect, but young, strong, fearless, invincible, teenaged Mary, chosen for who she was specifically. Not someone to be molded into a different image, but who God made intentionally as she was. That gives me hope. Because if God can use that and needs that, then God can use and need all of us. And we can provide hope in this world before Christ comes again. Live into who God made you. And serve God from who you are. Not an image that you're trying to meet. That is where our hope comes from. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.